Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob. Reading today from the life and diary of David Brainerd, with Jonathan Edwards helping out a little bit as we go along. Most of it from David Brainerd, but every once in a while a comment from Mr. Edwards. We're going to wrap up part six of the eight parts of this book right now. It is Saturday, April 13, 1745. Rode home to my own house at the Forks of Delaware. Was enabled to remember the goodness of the Lord, who has now preserved me while riding full 600 miles in this journey. Has kept me that none of my bones have been broken. Blessed be the Lord, who has preserved me in this tedious journey and returned me in safety to my own house. Verily, it is God that has upheld me and guarded my goings. Lord's Day, April 14, was disordered in body with the fatigues of my late journey, but was enabled, however, to preach to a considerable assembly of white people, gathered from all parts round about, with some freedom, from Ezekiel 33:11, "As I live, saith the Lord God," and so on. How I had much more assistance than I expected. Well, this week he went a journey to Philadelphia, in order to engage the governor there to use his interest with the chief man of the Six Nations, with whom he maintained a strict friendship, that he would give him leave to live at Susquehanna and instruct the Indians that are within their territories. In his way to and from thence, he lodged with Mr. Beattie, a young Presbyterian minister. He speaks of seasons of sweet spiritual refreshment that he enjoyed at his lodgings. Saturday, April 20, rode with Mr. Beattie to Abington to attend Mr. Treat's administration of the sacrament, according to the method of the Church of Scotland. When we arrived, we found Mr. Treat preaching. Afterwards, I preached a sermon from Matthew 5:3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit," and so on. God was pleased to give me great freedom and tenderness, both in prayer and sermon. The assembly was sweetly melted, and scores were all in tears. It was as then I hoped, and was afterwards abundantly satisfied by conversing with them, a word spoken in season to many weary souls. I was extremely tired, and my spirits much exhausted, so that I could scarcely speak loud, yet I could not help rejoicing in God. Lord's Day, April 21. In the morning was calm and composed, and had some outgoings of soul after God in secret duties, and longing desires of his presence in the sanctuary and at his table, that his presence might be in the assembly, and that his children might be entertained with a feast of fat things. In the forenoon, Mr. Treat preached. I felt some affection and tenderness during the administration of the ordinance. Mr. Beattie preached to the multitude abroad, who could not half have crowded into the meeting house. In the season of the communion, I had comfortable and sweet apprehensions of the blissful communion of God's people when they shall meet at their Father's table in his kingdom in a state of perfection. In the afternoon, I preached abroad to the whole assembly from Revelation 14:4, "These are they that follow the Lamb," so on. God was pleased again to give me very great freedom and clearness, but not so much warmth as before. However, there was a most amazing attention in the whole assembly, and as I was informed afterwards, this was a sweet season to many. Monday, April 22, I enjoyed some sweetness in retirement in the morning. At 11 o'clock, Mr. Beattie preached with freedom and life, and then I preached from John 7:37 in the last day, and so on, and concluded the solemnity. I had some freedom, but not equal to what I had enjoyed before. Yet in the prayer, the Lord enabled me to cry, I hope, with a childlike temper, with tenderness and brokenness of heart. Came home with Mr. Beattie to his lodgings, and spent the time while riding and afterwards very agreeably on divine things. Tuesday, April 23, left Mr. Beattie's and returned home to the Forks of Delaware. Enjoyed some sweet meditations on the road, and was enabled to lift up my heart to God in prayer and praise. The two next days, Jonathan Edwards says he speaks of much bodily disorder, but of some degrees of spiritual assistance and freedom. Then Friday, April 26, conversed with a Christian friend with some warmth, and felt a spirit of mortification to the world in a very great degree. Afterwards was enabled to pray fervently and to rely on God sweetly for all things pertaining to life and godliness. Just in the evening was visited by a dear Christian friend with whom I spent an hour or two in conversation on the very soul of religion. There are many with whom I can talk about religion, but alas, I find few with whom I can talk religion itself. But, blessed be the Lord, there are some that love to feed on the kernel rather than the shell. The next day he went to the Irish settlement, often before mentioned, about 15 miles distant, where he spent the Sabbath and preached with some considerable assistance. On Monday he returned in a very weak state to his own lodgings. Tuesday, April 30, was scarce able to walk about and was obliged to betake myself to bed much of the day, and spent away the time in a very solitary manner, being neither able to read, meditate, nor pray, and had none to converse with in that wilderness. Oh, how heavily does time pass away when I can do nothing to any good purpose, but seem obliged to pass away precious time. But of late I have seen it my duty to divert myself by all lawful means that I may be fit at least some small part of my time to labor for God. And here is the difference between my present diversions and those I once pursued when in a natural state. Then I made a god of diversions, delighted in them with a neglect of God, and drew my highest satisfaction from them. Now I use them as means to help me in living to God, fixedly delighting in Him and not in them, drawing my highest satisfaction from Him. Then they were my all, and now they are only means leading to my all. Those things that are the greatest diversion when pursued with this view do not tend to hinder, but promote my spirituality. And I see now more than ever that they are absolutely necessary. Wednesday, May 1, was not able to sit up more than half the day, and yet had such recruits of strength sometimes that I was able to write a little on a divine subject. Was grieved that I could no more live to God. In the evening had some sweetness and intenseness in secret prayer. Thursday, May 2. In the evening, being a little better in health, I walked into the woods and enjoyed a sweet season of meditation and prayer. My thoughts ran upon Psalm 17:15. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And it was indeed a precious text to me. I longed to preach to the whole world. And it seemed to me they must needs all be melted in hearing such precious divine truths as I had them a view and relish of. My thoughts were exceeding clear, and my soul was refreshed. Blessed be the Lord, that in my late and present weakness, now for many days together, my mind is not gloomy, as at some other times. Friday, May 3, felt a little vigor of body and mind in the morning, had some freedom, strength, and sweetness in prayer, rode to and spent some time with my Indians. In the evening, again retiring into the woods, I enjoyed some sweet meditations on Isaiah 53:1, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him, etc. The three next days were spent in much weakness of body, says Edwards, but yet he enjoyed some assistance in public and private duties, and seems to have remained free from melancholy. Tuesday, May 7, spent the day mainly in making preparation for a journey into the wilderness, was still weak, and concerned how I should perform so difficult a journey. Spent some time in prayer for the divine blessing, direction, and protection in my intended journey, but wanted or needed bodily strength to spend the day in fasting and prayer. The next day he set out on his journey to Susquehanna with his interpreter. He endured great hardships and fatigues in his way thither through a hideous wilderness, where after having lodged one night in the open woods, He was overtaken with a northeasterly storm in which he was almost ready to perish. Having no manner of shelter and not being able to make a fire in so great a rain, he could have no comfort if he stopped. Therefore he determined to go forward in hopes of meeting with some shelter, without which he thought it impossible to live the night through. But their horses, happening to have eaten poison for want of other food, at a place where they lodged the night before, they were so sick that they could neither ride nor lead them, but were obliged to drive them and travel on foot, until, through the mercy of God, just at dusk they came to a bark hut, where they lodged that night. After he came to Susquehanna, he traveled about 100 miles on the river, and visited many towns and settlements of the Indians. He saw some of 7 or 8 distinct tribes, and preached to different nations by different interpreters. He was sometimes much discouraged and sunk in his spirits through the opposition that appeared in the Indians to Christianity. At other times he was encouraged by the disposition that some of these people manifested to hear, and willingness to be instructed. He here met with some that had formerly been his hearers at Kanamik, and had removed hither, who saw and heard him again with great joy. He spent a fortnight among the Indians on this river, and passed through considerable labors and hardships, frequently lodging on the ground, and sometimes in the open air, and at length he fell extremely ill, as he was riding in the wilderness, being seized with a fever, and extreme pains in his head and bowels, attended with a great evacuation of blood, so that he thought he must have perished in the wilderness. But at last, coming to an Indian trader's hut, he got leave to stay there, and though without medicine or food proper for him, it pleased God, after about a week's distress, to relieve him so far that he was able to ride. He returned homewards from Junkauta, an island far down the river, where was a considerable number of Indians, who appeared more free from prejudices against Christianity than most of the other Indians. He arrived at the Forks of Delaware on Thursday, May 30, after having ridden in this journey about 340 miles. He came home in a very weak state and under dejection of mind, which was a great hindrance to him in religious exercises. However, on the Sabbath, after having preached to the Indians, he preached to the white people with some success from Isaiah 53:10, and some being awakened by his preaching. The next day he was much exercised for want of spiritual life and fervency. Thursday, June 4. Towards evening I was in distress for God's presence and a sense of divine things. Withdrew myself to the woods, and spent near an hour in prayer and meditation, and I think the Lord had compassion on me, and gave me some sense of divine things, which was indeed refreshing and quickening to me. My soul enjoyed intenseness and freedom in prayer, so that it grieved me to leave the place. Wednesday, June 5. Felt thirsting desires after God in the morning. In the evening enjoyed a precious season of retirement. Was favored with some clear and sweet meditations upon a sacred text. Divine things opened with clearness and certainty, and I had a divine stamp upon them. My soul was also enlarged and refreshed in prayer, and I delighted to continue in the duty, and was sweetly assisted in praying for fellow Christians and my dear brethren in the ministry. Blessed be the dear Lord for such enjoyments. Oh, how sweet and precious it is to have a clear apprehension and tender sense of the mystery of godliness, of true holiness, and likeness to the best of things. Oh, what a blessedness it is to be as much like God as it is possible for a creature to be like his great Creator. Oh, Lord, give me more of thy likeness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with it. Thursday, June 6. Was engaged a considerable part of the day in meditation and study on divine subjects. Enjoyed some special freedom, clearness, and sweetness in meditation. Oh, how refreshing it is to be enabled to improve time well. The next day he went a journey of near 50 miles to Neshamini to assist at a sacramental occasion to be attended at Mr. Beattie's meeting house, being invited thither by him and his people. Saturday, June 8, was exceeding weak and fatigued with riding in the heat yesterday, but being desired, I preached in the afternoon to a crowded audience from Isaiah 40, verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. God was pleased to give me great freedom in opening the sorrows of God's people and in setting before them comforting considerations. And blessed be the Lord, it was a sweet melting season in the assembly. Lord's Day, June 9, felt some longing desires of the presence of God to be with his people on the solemn occasion of the day. In the forenoon, Mr. Beattie preached, and there appeared some warmth in the assembly. Afterwards, I assisted in the administration of the Lord's Supper. Toward the close of it, I discoursed to the multitude extempore with some reference to that sacred passage, Isaiah 53:10, again. Here God gave me great assistance in addressing sinners, and the word was attended with amazing power. Many scores, if not hundreds, in that great assembly, consisting of 3,000 or 4,000, were much affected, so that there was a very great mourning, like the mourning of Hadad Rimmon. In the evening I could hardly look anybody in the face because of the imperfections I saw in my performances in the days past. Monday, June 10, preached with a good degree of clearness and some sweet warmth from Psalm 17:15, I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. And blessed be God, there was a great solemnity and attention in the assembly, and sweet refreshment among God's people, as was evident then and afterwards. Tuesday, June 11, spent the day mainly in conversation with dear Christian friends, and enjoyed some sweet sense of divine things. Oh, how desirable it is to keep company with God's dear children. These are the excellent ones of the earth in whom I can truly say is all my delight. Oh, what delight will it afford to meet them all in a state of perfection. Lord, prepare me for that state. The next day he left Mr. Beattie's and went to Maidenhead in New Jersey, and spent the next 7 days in a comfortable state of mind, visiting several ministers in those parts. On Tuesday, June 18, set out from New Brunswick with a design to visit some Indians at a place called Crosswicksung in New Jersey, towards the sea. In the afternoon, came to a place called Cranberry, and meeting with a serious minister, Mr. McKnight, I lodged there with him, had some enlargement and freedom in prayer with a number of people. That's the end of part 6. Part 7 says it's from his beginning to preach to the Indians at Crosswicksung, where we just came, till he returned from his last journey to Susquehanna ill with the consumption whereof he died. Now, there are two parts, and both of them pretty good size, so it's not like we're at the end yet, but we're getting close in one sense. All right, thank you for being with me today. Do check out my website. The works of great men of God are there, their works, their words. North Korea audios by the hundreds are there that teach you and inform your prayer concerns. There's a study on the Quran, a study on Muhammad, many studies on Bible prophecy. There's whole commentaries and much more. And speaking of commentaries, tomorrow, Lord willing, that is Tuesday, October 30, 2018, we will continue our commentary on the book of Romans. It gets better. I want you to know it gets better and better all the time. I'm a little bit ahead of you on the actual study of it. And it's a good book. I know you've read it many times, many of you, but have you stopped and done what we're doing right now? Actually, verse by verse, sometimes word by word, checked it out. What's it all about? What's it mean? I hope you'll join us in that study. And starting Wednesday, we get into end time stuff. Yeah, end time prophecies. It's something that's always on the back burner with me, and I like to bring it to the front regularly. We're going to talk about a book that I put together just recently called Yes, We will. Yes, we will. I'll tell you more about what that means at another time. The book is available, by the way, at Amazon.com right now. The Lord bless you. This is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk soon. Bye-bye.